Hello there.
Tom Freshly screams towards Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Go
fuck yourself.
And I am a sports entertainer.
Ladies, gentlemen, and bees, this is the ESE Podcast. This is Eat Sleep Elite. I am one half of your hosting duo. I am the Digital Duke, also known as the Digital Phantom, also known as that thing. Here's the thing, y'all. Rocket? Anyway, I'm back with my good buddy Charlie. We're back with some more wrestling review. How are you doing today, bud, pal, chief?
Doing absolutely wonderful, hey.
That's what we like to hear, my brother. And yeah, we're back with more wrestling review. Some good stuff to talk about this week. Some absolutely phenomenal banger in-ring matches. Honestly, you know what? I'll keep it a buck. I don't think there was that spectacular promo content this week. It was fine. I don't think it was anything mind-blowing, though. Would you agree?
Yeah. Nothing too memorable, but my God, they made up for it in the ring. Holy
And that's
Lord.
What AEW does sometimes. Sometimes we are that indie fed. Sometimes we are that fucking indie fed. You know what I mean? Where we just have some good fucking matches, man. Just have some good matches. Anyway, you know, but I don't know why I turned into fucking boss mask there. But
I don't either, but I love it.
That was awesome.
holy shit, that was great.
Boss Nass fucking cameo.
That's Duke's live reaction when Wardlow returns. Right there.
Anyway,
that's good shit.
Anyway, so yeah, I guess with that being said, you know, we'll jump right into the fun shit because we're already there, so, you know.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah. Favorite of the week.
Favorite of the week, and side note, I wrote in my notes, Dynamite notes, bitch. Anyway, bitch. So that's what I put in my notes. I just thought I'd share it. So we're jumping to the end. We're going all the way to the end. We're starting with the end in the beginning in the end. The end is the beginning. Time is a flat circle, and everything is an illusion, my young brother. But anyway, now I'm starting to sound like fucking Rob. Anyway, but yeah, so we had Paragon. It's just Paragon at this point. Paragon. Taking on FTR in a 2 out of 3 falls match. And yeah, I mean, what I wrote in my notes off rip was, I mean, you know, fucking match of the year candidate on paper, obviously. Especially because you put 2 out of 3 falls and FTR next to each other and you put it on Collision, you expect a banger. This is they've now made this their bread and butter on Collision. This is their, if you know FTR now, you know that any FTR match on Collision could be an insane match. But now you know, especially when they put that 2 out of 3 falls on there, it's, you know for sure they're going for something crazy. So
100%.
And that's something I think is worth noting. So I did write that in my notes. Kyle was kicking his fucking legs like off. Like I thought Kyle was gonna like break somebody's sternum at some point. He was just absolutely annihilating people with those kicks, dude. I said he was kicking like a chicken. Stokely. With some interesting strategy for FTR in there, which ultimately ended up proving to be the right strategy, I guess is the way you could put it. You know, he has Dax, who was caught in, I think it's an ankle lock or something like that early, tap out when he could have easily probably made it to the ropes. And the idea there is if he holds it out, maybe he gets an injury that he can't win the match with later. So I've never seen a strategy like that in a 2 out of 3 falls match. It does seem inherently flawed, like something that would bite you in the ass eventually if you went with that strategy every time. But in the moment, against one of the best tag teams in the world, it makes sense. I could see it being something that somebody would come up with. I could also see FTR having too much pride to maybe do that themselves, but having somebody like Stokely there who does, we'll just say he's a little bit of a chicken shit, you know what I mean? Like, he can kind of like bleed that into them a little bit and maybe make them, maybe not necessarily better, but at least, you know, give them advantages they wouldn't have because of their own pride, if that makes sense. So that's pretty cool. Oh my God, this sequence that Roddy had, that I think it ended in like a back body drop or something like that. He was just going nuts, dude. I mean, Roddy, I it's weird whenever I say this because I know he can do this in singles too, because we've seen it as well in his singles AEW runs and stuff. But like, there's something about the way that Roddy, when he hits a tag into a tag match, and something about when he just goes fucking ballistic with it just makes me want to fucking run through a wall, bro. I don't know how else to describe it. Guy is just a fucking goddamn animal in there. And it's crazy, too, because he's shorter than a lot of the other guys, but he makes
that's just how special he is
with the energy. You know what I mean? Like, It's true. I honestly wouldn't be surprised to see Roderick end up with like a mid-card title again in the next couple of years. You know what I mean? If not like the next year, you know, he's just that good, you know? So, oh my God. Yeah. So, yeah, so it specifically was a sequence that he had against Dax. I'm not sure exactly how early into the match that was. I do think it was relatively early. But anyway, yeah, so there was like a point in the match where I was like laughing my ass off because Dax started getting "you're still bald" chants too. And I'm like, ah, shit, it's bleeding to the other wrestlers at this point. Oh, no. But but yeah, so the last 10 minutes of this match was just like tag team wrestling magic, Charlie. It was basically like everything that you like are essentially like everything that we say in every match: near falls, timing, fucking what's the other thing that I usually always say? Whatever, like all those things that I normally highlight about a match, it has that in there in spades and then some. And there was a point in the match after FDR hit their shatter machine to go up and, you know, even out the falls, where Stoke sees that they're about to lose the match. And I forget whose foot he puts on the rope, but he puts the foot on the rope, and then they use that to create a distraction because the Paragon believe they've won the match because they counted the three, and then they use that distraction to then attack the already injured leg of Roderick, and then they, you know, double team on Kyle and then hit him with another shatter machine, and they pick up the win. So first of all, phenomenal finish to put the FTR, you know, give FTR a heel win in a way that feels like not like the same thing we've seen a million times, and, you know, obviously gives them the rub, and then, excuse me. So yeah, before I get into the after portion, Charlie, just what are your thoughts on the match overall? I mean, I thought this was the best tag team match we've had all year from even in the company. It might be, you know, honestly, like, so it was fucking phenomenal.
It was pretty damn good. It was pretty damn good. Yeah, no, I really thought these guys, you know, let them fucking do the damn thing back-to-back weeks, right? Just let them go out there and have this special-ass match that they just did, and I thought it worked out pretty well. It's crazy. They've worked four times together now in 2025. Are we verging on potential feud of the year already? Like, in terms of match quality, they've all been fucking incredible. So
it depends on how it ends. Because yeah. I feel like we always talk about, okay, we have our feuds, and when they're big main event feuds like this, it feels like they're the next up in the tag team contenders, right? So, I don't know who I'd want to go on to face, you know?
Maybe Collision we stretch 82, this out a couple Collision months. 84, Collision fucking 90, and now Collision 91. They've wrestled, and there hasn't been a single bad match.
No?
And it feels like they've elevated, because I thought last week's match was their best match yet.
That's
and
true.
Now this one does feel better. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, keep an eye out for that because
100%.
This is going to be fucking awesome. So,
fucking, now that we hit four, just say it. Fucking, we're doing three more and just say it was always a best of seven. You never knew any different.
100%. Yeah. And who's going to say no, right? Everyone loves tag team wrestling that watches AEW. So, just let them go out there and do it. Let's go.
100%.
So, yeah, no, I really like this. Like you said, Roddy's back in full swing. Kyle O'Reilly just, I am so glad he's back and having this run that he is. It feels special and definitely felt like we weren't going to ever see him wrestle again there for a little bit. So it's really cool. And then FTR back in their heel roles. These guys don't miss. They said we want tag team of the year. They heard all that noise last year. They heard it, man.
The noise where I gave it to the Outrunners? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and unanimously, a fucking team in NXT basically won everyone's tag team of the year. Like, there's no way that doesn't fire these guys up. And if awards don't matter.
At least if we're talking about just Western wrestling, they've been unanimously the best tag team in the West for years now. You know, like,
they've been running. Yes. So
them and the Young Bucks, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, it's
They need to...
Right now, the Young Bucks are way ahead. I'll just keep it a buck. You know what I mean?
They needed to get this, and this feud is off to a great start. And their year's off to a great start to finally get back to tag team of the year. Hopefully,
right now, the Young Bucks are way ahead, and they've been wrestling on TV all year, and the Young Bucks have not. You know, like...
Yeah, so... All right, let's cattle. Oh, wait, you want to hit what happened after? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, just Adam Cole came. Or not Adam Cole. Yeah, that's not Adam Cole. Adam Cole was on commentary. My bad. Which I didn't mention. But
good on
I
commentary,
think,
by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I thought he added to this as well. Daniel Garcia arrives, my bad, with a crowbar and a microphone. It says he's pissed off, says he's going to beat the answers out of them in the ring. I don't know if that's going to be a tag match, if he's going to be one-on-two, if he's going to be one-on-one with either or both. I don't know, but Daniel wants answers. So there's
cool.
That. Yeah, I mean, I don't got anything else for Danny to do right now, so, you know, like, as yeah, weird as it is to say.
More on
you know?
That when we're talking Collision, because they definitely got a little bit of thoughts on what happened to him. Okay,
yeah.
So like you said,
awesome to you.
We haven't done this in a while, but this has happened. I'd love to know a stat how many times where quite literally the first thing of the week and the last thing of the week are our favorites. So that being said, the opening match of Dynamite, we had Kenny Omega, Speedball Mike Bailey, Kevin Knight, and Mark Briscoe take on and defeat? No, they lost.
Incorrect. They lost.
They lost. Briscoe took Rainmaker. This thing was listed out of order. That's what I thought. Okay. The Elite and Ricochet ended up winning this match. Okay.
Aha!
So, for starters, you guys, when we talk about the impact PWG had in American wrestling, it's shit like this. This was fucking perfect. This is what I fell in love with the independent wrestling scene. It was an absolute blitz, an absolute
this is why
gob
we used to
smacking
bitch
party
about
match.
6-8-man, 10-man tags that they would have every week on Raw that would be meaningless, that nobody would be involved in a storyline, or 4 of the fucking 10 people would be, and they'd all be with each other, so it wouldn't even matter, you know, because it's just
yes,
like one win
this,
in a column.
This format was run to the fucking ground, and if you didn't watch independent wrestling, you didn't realize how much it was thriving because of the Young Bucks. You can just fucking point to them. I don't care. You can give other people credit if you want, but they are always that foundation piece, them and others. So, and Ricochet, of course, is one of them.
Right, which Young Buck do you think was pushing the 8-man, 6-man tag matches more?
I'm going to say Nick. Nick loved doing the flying shit.
I can see
that being said, Matt, hold on. He had some fucking great chemistry with Kenny Omega, of course, in this match. Hey, yo. And guys, you have a list here of one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, another one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, one of the greatest tags of all time, and Mark Briscoe, who as well is in one of the greatest tags of all time. And Ricochet looked like the biggest star
Ricochet
of them all.
Ricochet probably a top 10 in-ring wrestler in the world right now, I would say. Yeah, the way
Ricochet
he's been doing it.
Like, if people thought that he was gone forever, because, you know, it's fair to think he might have been, has he proven it over and over again?
I want Ricochet to be like Sentry and just have a...
Because guess
this,
what?
This dark side was his void the whole
yes,
time.
Because guess what? Put him in there with Kenny Omega, and he still looks like Ricochet. Duke, I still don't see other people on the train that we are when we said his trajectory swerve and he will win the world championship in this company. People still aren't on that train yet, but by the end of this year, they will be. And we're going to be sitting there kind of giggling like... Told you so, because that's what he does.
Yeah, no.
Super enjoyable.
Yeah,
everyone got their shit in. Kevin Knight, Mike Bailey, proving time and time again, great additions to this company.
Speeding the jet,
because people are leaving, and that's something we're going to get into in a little bit.
People are leaving.
But,
I mean,
here's
the thing: we got new people, but we also
got new people.
We got maybe more new people potentially. So,
But Sami Zayn as well always said PWG will live forever.
This is true. Could there be a rebirth of something like PWG?
Could he be proven right?
Yeah, could PWG could PWG reborn with this new class of rookies that's going to be out there? Like, could they?
They
like,
COVID killed PWG. They tried bringing it back after, and it's been on hiatus for like 3 years now. So, it you know,
there could be a resurgence.
It is living
in the
on,
indie scene,
and there are wrestlers in New Japan, in WWE, in AEW that are carrying this, and they.
A subtle background thing where they can't do like some of these big promotions like New Japan and AEW. Like, obviously AEW would be a big shot, right? But like, could somebody like go that one of these young kids that just got released that doesn't really have a name, hasn't really had a lot of experience, barely any training, could they go to the dojo right now You know, like
I don't see why not.
And train for a couple of years and then maybe not even wrestle for New Japan much.
Because, I mean, as far as I know, Shibata doesn't have a class anymore. So, but that doesn't mean...
That doesn't mean they're not training people.
The dojo still, in Japan, because they're still young lions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
No, they're still training people for sure. You could still go to Japan for sure. I think,
and you can still go to the All Japan dojo, the Noah dojo. And these are also they're popping guys out.
Yeah.
So
is that something some of these people could do? I know we're not there yet, but like I wonder that sometimes. Like, is that an option?
If the opportunity presents itself, I just point to
is
the
that
last...
an option some people currently under contract at AEW should take?
It's hard. I mean, like, because a lot of the guys in AEW are probably just going to stay what they're doing. Because the only one that was recently, I mean, we do have some women that are. That have been quote unquote signed that are still training, like how mm-hmm. Megan Bain did.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, Lee Johnson is the youngest one, right? And he's still kind of doing his nightmare. I don't know how much of the Nightmare Academy he's still training at, but I mean, he's, I think, the youngest wrestler.
I'm not even saying for training. I just think, like, just to like make yourself like a bigger name. Like, if you go to Japan and have like 10 solidly good matches, I mean, that has to raise your stock, right? Like
Robert Martyr, he's in Japan now. He went to Japan. He's in a very, very lower tier Japanese promotion, but he's doing the damn thing, and he will make his mark eventually, sooner than later. So, yo, what'd you think of this match though? And we finally got Omega and Okada touching tips for the first time since 2018.
Hey, yo, but I mean, so Kenny and Okada. I thought was interesting to have start us off. I mean, technically they didn't really start us off, you know what I mean? But like, whatever, you know? Yeah, I mean, the stare down was the thing I think I was looking forward to the most in this, and they gave it to us right away because they know, you know?
They know.
They did a little smack talk, and then Okada was like, just kidding, you're not wrestling me, bud. Well, we're giving that to them on pay-per-view on the big show. Don't worry about it, you know? And yeah, so, oh, there was a funny spot where the Bucks accidentally hit an arm ringer, like, you know, like the arm ringer, like ringing the arm over and over the rope. And, it did that to fucking Ricochet by accident. Okay, when that happens, I can concede. Okay. Yeah. They're making him a little bit of a joke, but I don't care because Ricochet is the one to do it. You know, like literally quote the tweet that you sent to me the other day, which is like, this may be silliness, but my soul was literally being sucked from my body in the WWE. So I don't want to hear any of that shit anymore. You know, like that's, you know, like he's happy. He's fucking happy. If that's enough for me, to be honest with you, is what did I say when Adam Cole was out for 2 fucking years, Charlie? I don't care if he ever wrestles again. I just want him to be happy in his life. I don't want him to be fucking breaking his body to try and come back for us. You know, like,
yep.
I feel the same way about somebody's mental health. If Ricochet isn't capable because it's literally draining his soul to do this, then he should make a change in his life. That wasn't wrestling in his mind. The wrestling was not the thing that was causing that. It was where he was working. So he made a change. And look, he's doing phenomenal work now. So I just had to acknowledge that. Because they were like cheesing up the rules a little bit, you know? So that's why they ended up hitting it on him. Because they, I forget who it was, but they totally like, just like, you know, I think was it maybe one of the Jacksons got beat up by somebody on the other team and then that's who grabbed Ricochet or something like that. Maybe I can't remember, but it doesn't really matter. Yeah, this is a little chaotic. That's the word I would use. This is chaos in a tag match, but it was still fun, yep. You know,
the super party match.
Yep. 100%. We have one of those on Collision as well. You know, you get your party matches. It's fun. Seeing Kenny wrestling against the Bucks was pretty fucking gnarly. I honestly, Charlie, I know it's probably happened before, but I've never seen it, I don't think, that I can remember. So, right? So, I
just outside of very early on, him and Hangman wrestling the Bucks.
Oh, yeah, okay. And I've seen that match, and obviously, that makes sense. But in my head, I was like, I wonder what it's going to look like. And it looked as surreal as I thought it would, because you just used to seeing them next to each other, you know?
Even Matt outsmarting him a little bit in the match. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they should have at least a little advantage because they wrestled with him for so goddamn long. You know what I mean? But some years still bald chance. Oh, my God. The fake Ricochet hair spot with fucking whose hair did they use? I forget.
I forgot. But yeah, that was good.
That was really good. He actually looked like fucking like Ricochet with hair, too. I think they totally did that on purpose. They're like, hey, look, my hair looks kind of like yours. Oh, yeah, it does. I'll look like when I was in that photo that everyone looks at. We had some quad suplexes. But they were supposed to be brainbusters, but I think everyone just did a suplex because I don't know, whatever. I thought Kevin stood out in this match too, like you said. Yeah, just great stuff. I really liked this. Oh, there was this I don't know what the fuck, how do you, again, every now and then there's a move that hits it in an AEW match, and I'm like, what the fuck was that? So there was a double combo dropkick, tombstone, senton. So what that means is they hit a electric chair, right? I think, something like that. Oh, no, sorry. They hit like a double, yeah, they hit a double combo dropkick, so into a tombstone. So the dropkick hit the, they did the dropkick that hit the tombstone. And then after the tombstone, they hit like running sentons on them. That's literally what happened. So that was wild. Then there was an electric chair dropkick over the top rope onto the Young Bucks. So someone was sitting in the electric chair. Then someone got dropkicked off top of the electric chair into the Young Bucks on the outside. So this match had crazy shit going on throughout the whole time. Ultimately, Mark Briscoe was there to take the pin. Just fun stuff. You know what I mean? Great stuff. That opened up the show. But yeah, this was fun this week.
Absolutely. And okay, let's get into some news.
Let's get right into the news.
So, okay, kicking us off, we got a little bit of Darby Allin update.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man now. The man. Woo!
Darby Allin has set a world record. To the best of public knowledge, Darby Allin has set the first documented world record for highest elevation kickflip, 20,958 feet. Darby shared this with us on his Instagram. That's awesome. Darby Allin set world records. You love it. You gotta love it. He's doing great. We got an update again from Dorje, and they said Darby's doing great. 3.5 hours, nice and clear day with great views. And tomorrow they're continuing their, you know, their journey.
Their ascent, if you will.
Yeah. Really cool.
I mean,
it's nice getting these little updates. And of course, Darby would do that.
Is there a real possibility that Darby Allin comes off the mountain and beats Jon Moxley for the world title?
Potentially.
Like, is it possible that they hold Moxley all the way past when he gets back, and that's when they finally drop it? Because I'll be honest with you.
Potentially, they could.
I'll be honest with you. He did get a title shot early, then got it taken away, right?
Yes.
So, is there... I mean there's an argument.
It felt like he should have won the title 3 months ago.
That's... Yeah, so...
And he should have been defending it in Australia, and that just... It wasn't the case.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, so, he wanted to still go climb Mount Everest, so that wasn't, you know, a thing.
Yeah.
And so, but I mean, so I don't know. I mean, yeah, and Darby will win the world title at some point. I mean, we're not going to sit here and pretend like that's not going to happen.
He'll be one of the next five.
Yeah, so, like, if they did do that, it wouldn't be crazy. For some reason in my head, Swerve's second title reign still comes before then, you know? And for some reason, now I'm starting to think even more, maybe even Joe's, you know? Like, so, like...
Could be.
Because, like, the way they're putting Joe, I mean, Joe, last time Joe won, this is basically how it went. You know what I mean? So, like, in the lead up. So, I mean, like, you know, so.
Yeah, it very well. So, that's a nice little Darby update. As always, we're going to be getting those updates as they trickle out from Mount Everest. So, again, pretty awesome stuff there out of Darby Allin. Okay.
The next thing you know, he's going to be hitting a coffin splash off the top of the mountain.
Yeah, diving 50,000 feet. Fuck it, we ball. AEW has announced a 7-show residency at the former ECW arena. So a little similar to last year when they announced the Arlington, Texas thing, which turned out to be an unmitigated success. AEW is doing the same, and they're calling it AEW 2300 Philadelphia. So it's going to be Dynamite August 27th, Collision August 30th, Dynamite September 3rd, ROH Death Before Dishonor September 5th, and then... Collision September 6th, Dynamite September 10th, and September 11th, a taping of Collision. So, yeah, it sounds like Tony Khan had mentioned a month ago he was very interested in doing this. It sounds like they locked it in. Look, I'm down.
Do you remember the thing that benefited the most from this?
What's that?
When we had like a long period of shows in the same arena for a while. It was Ring of Honor, remember?
Yep. Yeah.
And so I think Ring of Honor might even like, I mean, I remember people were talking about Ring of Honor. It was so like unique there for a little while, you know, like, so I think if they did this every couple months, Ring of Honor would like, and they just taped all of the next several months of Ring of Honor in those periods of time, right? While they have these places locked down. I don't know how easy that is to schedule, but if they did that, Ring of Honor would feel like a way more cohesive show, I feel like. And I feel like that's the problem is that you can tell even though you know it's a streaming show, you know that that locker room is about one-fifth the size in terms of, like, actual size of the actual locker room of anything else, you know what I mean? Because you're not going to be able to have that many bodies in there, right? Because they don't get the whole shebang to do their thing, right? That you know that it's a smaller operation, so, but then, like, you have it, like, feel like it's going from city to city, which it's not, because... I mean, it is, but you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, like, there's a dissonance there that I think if they just had some, like, if it looked the same for several months at a time and then changed, I know that would be maybe a little bit jarring, but, like, at least it'd be consistent. I don't know. I feel like that is something that, if you're going to be essentially what Ring of Honor is, which is essentially, like, Impact when it was taped, I mean, Impact, I don't think it might still be taped, but, like, whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like, when Impact was, like, a taped event and, like, you know, therefore you knew, like, that there was, always going to be filmed in the same location because they were taping it, right? Or at least it was going to look similar enough because they're taping it, right? So I just think that's what Ring of Honor really needs, you know? I think consistency would help with that. And I think this is one of the ways you can get that. I don't think this is the best solution, but I think it'd be, like, temporarily. I think what I'm saying is if they're going to do this, take advantage of it and make Ring of Honor look more clean, you know? Like,
yeah, could be a nice way to do something like that. So, okay. Up next, we had a little comment talking Tony Khan talking about Ricochet, and little he had Ricky. An interview on Superstar Crossover.
Bald Ricky,
and he goes on to say this. He said he's fantastic. He's an incredible wrestler. He is also a great talker, and he said he has a great personality. It's all about giving an opportunity to showcase that. So as a matchmaker, I put him in situations where he would not only be able to showcase that Ricochet is one of the greatest wrestlers on the planet, which he is. Also knowing that if you're going to put a guy in his final matches at the Continental Classic at the Hammerstein Ballroom, yeah, he's a big deal. And he pretty much talks about how he put him up against Ospreay and Allen. And he says he's very cognizant of how he was going to play out. And I thought it was very smart to lean into it. So he's basically goes on to say this. Ricochet is one of the most compelling and interesting people in wrestling. And look, he's hoping that Ricochet is never going to leave AEW at the end of the day, and he's hoping that he'll be with AEW forever, and maybe Ricochet can be one of those guys that ends up being a cornerstone of the future of the company as well as the present. So being a living legend, if you will, he could be. So yeah, I mean,
I'm gonna look something up really quick. I don't actually know, because I think he's, like, a little bit older, right? He's not, like, young, but he's not, like, a fucking geezer or anything. Like, Ricochet's still in his prime, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
Ricochet's, I think, those years 36. That were, okay, yeah, so, yeah, so, because he spent, like, what, like, a decade in the WWE almost, it feels like, so.
Almost, yeah.
Close, but, like, not quite, but in that range. Certainly 5+ years, I think, at least.
A long fucking time.
So, obviously, a lot of his, you know, younger years, they're gone now, but he's still in ridiculously good shape. He's obviously still training very hard to keep up his speed and athleticism, so I'm not concerned about that part at all. I do think I had small concerns because we just hadn't gotten a very, very good idea of what this guy was like on the mic, for sure, you know what I mean, until we saw him in AEW. And I don't have issues with that. Everything that I've seen from him, I enjoy. Is there the occasional promo that is, like, not, like, the most compelling thing in the planet? Not really, to be honest with you. For the most part, I think there's a certain point where when somebody gives you enough good content, you kind of just lock in, and you're like, I'm not saying that you can't ever say that they did a bad promo, and easily it could happen, you know, but you just kind of start to, like, I don't know, almost see things the way that they're putting them in, like, I'm seeing things from Ricochet's perspective when I'm listening to him talking. I'm like, okay, I can see how, from what he's done and what his character should believe, how that would be what you would say here, even if it's, I don't know, I guess the way it would be, maybe not the way I would phrase it per se, but, like, that's not even a bad thing, because let's be honest, what is it that we define as a bad promo? If it just, to me, like, what truly a bad promo is it doesn't do anything for the story. It makes one or both of the parties in it look bad. And I don't mean bad in, like, oh, you're a shitty wrestler. I mean, like, bad in, like, that nobody's going to want to see what happens next because it put them off or something like that, right? So, to me, a bad promo, like, you have to really fuck up for me to really dislike your promo. I may not be sold on your match if you don't deliver me something super duper interesting. But, like, I'm not sitting here, like, looking for everything to be an MJF promo every time, you know, like, because not every situation calls for that. And even saying that, we've seen Ricky, I'm going to start calling him that because I keep writing that in my notes. We've seen Ricochet, cut some pretty dramatic emotional promos at this point. So I don't think he's incapable or anything. I think it's simply a knowing when to use that. Because I don't think everything needs to be I think for some reason everyone wants him to be this hyper serious, hyper almost like what Kenny would do if we put him on a singles run right now, right? But he's not that. It's not what he is. You know what I mean? Like, he's a different wrestler than that. He is a different personality than that. And I personally love that even though he's a bad guy right now, we're getting to see the fun side of him a little bit. I didn't mean to ramble for that long, but I just think it's interesting,
Yeah, it's interesting. I love the guy. So, hey, I don't mind. CMLL's Persephone is to make her AEW Ring of Honor debut next month at the 28th of May. So,
did we see her on a New Japan show at some point?
Correct. She was in that four-way with Athena.
And I remember she stood out, I believe. If I remember right, she was good. So,
looks pretty good. So, keep an eye out for that. That should be pretty neat to see Persephone show up there in AEW Ring of Honor. Okay.
Yeah. Should we get?
It's actually, before we get into that, I wanted to talk about some New Japan results from Wrestling Dontaku this year. So, it was a couple days ago. And let's get into our title match results. El Phantasmo and Konosuke Takeshita went to a time limit draw, 50-minute. Everyone, this match keeps getting referenced as match of the show, so doesn't surprise me there. They had the great G1 match, so yeah. Rocky Romero was out there with Takeshita, so he's his go-to guy out there now in Japan. And a loser leaves Bullet Club steel cage.
That makes sense because, if we're being honest, in storyline and in real life, probably the guy that got him the ability to wrestle there was Rocky, if we're being honest, so.
He's definitely the man in the office, so.
Hey, you could say Rocky is the corporate stooge.
Loser leaves Bullet Club steel cage 10-man tag team match where the Bullet Club War Dogs defeated the House of Torture. So House of Torture is no longer in Bullet Club. They're going to be doing their own thing from here on out. And yeah, so, okay.
So does that make the War Dogs the official Bullet Club faction at this point?
The only Bullet Club faction now.
Well, there you go.
So, and then night two, we had some of our results. We had Naito's final match. Where with LIJ, he picked up a win over Just Four Guys. The IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship, Yota Tsuji defeated Yuya Uemura in a really solid match. And then in the highest rated match of the event, IWGP World Heavyweight title match, Hiroki Goto defeats Callum Newman. Sounds like they went out and had an absolute banger. And Zack Sabre Jr. steps up next to challenge Goto. And I believe the next show is Dominion. So, yeah, that's coming up really fast. We got the Super Juniors starting, I want to say, next week.
Yeah, so expect some New Japan content coming from us. So
that's going to be popping. Oh, it's Resurgence. Oh. So they're actually doing this match in America. Oh, wow. Oh, okay,
that's cool.
Okay, so, well, at least you know. Jesus, that's going to happen fast.
Now you know.
Okay. That's cool. Now, in the pipe. We're going to spend a little bit of time on this because we got a lot of Contract Mania to talk about.
Contract. It's a contract. It's a contract. Dee, 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 dee.
So we're going to go kind of all over the place with this, but I want to start with the people. Well, there was one re-signing. Chelsea Green re-signed a multi-year contract to WWE. You might be saying, why is that relevant? Well, Chelsea Green is an emerging star. Everyone loves her. She is a star, let's be honest. And as of this week, she was the only person that got a new contract other than AAA people signing with WWE, which is still not like ironclad, so we're not going to really talk about it, but it does sound like, God, what's our guy? It's not Wagner. Vikingo. It sounds like Vikingo is signed to WWE now. But none of that seems to be 100% confirmed, so we'll wait till next week to talk about that, see if we get some more confirmation there. But Chelsea Green, the only person to sign a new contract with WWE. A lot of people have thought, maybe with Matt Cardona doing his own thing elsewhere. Maybe she would venture off. I don't think that's ever been the case. She's going to do her own thing. So, yes, that's the only contract that was signed this week, though. Okay, departures from AEW. EJ Nduka has confirmed his departure from AEW. His words, "I was never meant to sit. Benches were made for the unsure. I've heard the call, now it's time to move. If you think this guy was made to ride the bench, you need to call the 1-800 number because you suffer from mesothelioma, you pencil-necked reject."
Well, whoa. I don't think that guy's going to be back. Sad, because every time we saw him, liked him, liked the backstory.
Kept feeling like there's something you can't miss with this guy.
And yet they just never missed it.
I mean, I
fully expect this guy. I know they just released half of NXT. Well, they got space now. So, you know, like.
Yeah.
He's already
been released from NXT. So.
Well.
I don't know. Then, it's so weird. I don't know.
I can tell you he's not going to fit in a place like TNA. I'm telling you right now. Because if he doesn't fit in a place like AEW, definitely don't fit. Because AEW has essentially changed what TNA was, which is what made WWE even remotely interested in working with them. Because they were doing good work, you know? So, like. So it'd be like AEW2. And so I'm not saying, but he'd probably get used more there because their talent's been rated pretty hard. So, I mean, Japan, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe. Look, unbelievable athlete. And just, I feel like.
But wait, he will have to bench in Japan too because you don't get to just go straight. You have to do some dojo time, even if you're established. You maybe don't have to do as much, but like.
It's kind of crazy they never even got him rolling in Ring of Honor.
Maybe that's they did. I mean, we haven't watched Ring of Honor for like going on almost a year, I feel like now. So
yeah,
you know.
But you still hear of matches. And I'm looking at his matches right now. He didn't even really, like, this feels like a can't-miss guy. You just, fuck it, we're trying to develop him. Let's stick him in Ring of Con and see what happens. Last Ring of Honor match was, he wrestled in January?
Look, I love Ring of Con.
Last singles match in August? I mean,
I love Ring of Con. Here's the thing. I don't think it works very well as AEW's developmental. Because not many people that go to Ring of Con come back. So I do worry about it, you know? But.
All his AEW, he constantly got these AEW dark matches. Yet.
I think for a lot of these guys, the death of dark was the death of their ability to get on AEW TV, which sucks,
it's
but
so
it's true.
So crazy,
you know?
That this. It constantly felt like he's one of those guys waiting in the shadows, you know, like he's a fucking Allomancer and we're waiting for him. And he never got a chance to show up and he's clearly pissed about it. I can't blame him. All this talk about benches in the world of wrestling and you got this fucking behemoth of an athlete sitting on your bench.
Why is everything in wrestling got to be fucking furniture related? Benches, tables, fucking like tablecloths, like, yeah. You know, fucking the glass ceiling. I mean, to be fair, we needed to shatter that years ago, but still, you know, like, I mean, like. It's all furniture related, man. Just get a goddamn carpenter in to fix this shit.
You're not wrong. So, again, I think EJ still could have a future in wrestling. So, I hope that he pops up, and whether it's just Roman independence or he does get a shot in Japan or, you know, whatever else happens.
All right, here's a genuinely legitimate question. I've never thought of this before, but it just came to me right now. Tony Khan's a billionaire, Charlie. He's got so much money, and he's still making money, so he's not going to run out of money unless he really fumbles the bag, right? So, plus Shad Khan's not dead, so he's still making money, right? So, and actually, I'm sure Fulham's making money right now. I'd be mind-blown if you go up 3 years in a row and you're not making money, you know what I mean? But anyway. Well,
women just won the championship.
That too, so, you know.
And AEW is their main sponsor.
There you go.
The one on the chest.
So, you know, hopefully he's chilling right now, right? At the very least. I don't think he's hurting for money. So, should Tony Khan open up something like an NXT, like for real? Like AEW is essentially developmental. And maybe we do something like Dark with it, where we do film some of the matches and put them out on YouTube, right? But
I mean, there's been a lot of stuff pitched like that over the years. Like, was the Nightmare Academy going to be that, right? When they bought Ring of Honor, was that going to be that? I just don't know. The reality is we need a third major wrestling company in America. That's the fucking reality. There's way too much talent.
Yeah.
And not enough fucking television time.
But like, there's just not enough. I feel like there's not enough good minds for that. You know what I mean? To like be people to run companies and not like.
Someone's got to make it work. But it's like, you know, can you get, Can another Tony Khan come around? Someone that actually loves wrestling, that has the funds to make it happen. It took 25 years for it to happen, or however long it was. So yeah, probably not likely. But wish EJ the best.
100%.
We have another one from AEW. The Righteous, gone. Profiles removed from the website. They were just on Ring of Honor last week. This is, again, joining... AEW's had a lot of number high-profile releases in 2025. Rey Fénix, Ricky Starks, Miro, a lot of these other guys, they immediately just walked into WWE.
This is not a team that can do that, unfortunately, for them. I mean, maybe they can, but I don't think so, you know?
These were originally two guys. They were already... Everything seemed to be on the dotted line, ready to go for them to be joining.
Yes, they were going to join the Wyatt family, but I don't think that those spots are already all taken now, aren't they? So, I mean, like...
Is this a scenario where people liked them enough in NXT anyways? NXT now is in a position where they need to sign veterans in the tag team division as well, because there isn't any. It's gone. There are no veterans left in the NXT tag division. Because you can't constantly send your main roster guys down to do these matches. These guys, they'll walk in. They're instantly your best tag team there.
Yeah, right? That's fair. Yeah.
They have. You want to talk about charisma for television? They have it. Just never. How many fucking times did it feel like it was going to be their turn? They were getting momentum. You have them lose to MJF in the 1v2.
Yep.
Then they disappear for a while. I think there was an injury in there too. And then you have this thing with Lance Archer. It feels like they're emerging as a trios division. Mm-hmm. Dropped. Gone. Never mentioned again.
Ring of Honor. Did we ever get any confirmation of what happened there? Like,
no idea. But this one is a little annoying because... now that they're gone, it feels like, oh yeah, duh, could have seen that coming. It just felt like, come on, these guys are like perfect for what we're trying to do in terms of, you know, getting other people. I don't know, I just felt like they were a really good fit in the tag division and they could back it up in the ring. They were very creative guys, clearly.
Something odd about this is that it felt like to me they just never like believed in the gimmick or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like, because it's a very strong gimmick, but like it's not one that I feel like if you don't, but like if you're TK or whoever was making the booking decisions for them, right? Maybe if you just don't buy, maybe if you're just like, I don't think this is gonna work for this audience, right? Weird to think that considering we have Abaddon and Darby Allin and we had Sting and we have
people thought other... these guys could win the titles at Final Battle this last year.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm saying, though? Like, it's... So maybe if somebody that had the decision-making power just didn't believe in it, I think that's the only thing I could see, because... Well, obviously, I don't agree. I could see if you just didn't believe in it, you know what I mean? Or anything for that matter, that it would, you know... But for me, I kind of saw the writing on the wall because of how Stop Start. It's been over the last... however long it's been that we've been, you know, covering this team for. It's sad, but, you know, I hope the best for them going forward because I like them both. So
I actually hope they get gigs in NXT.
I hope now that you say it the way you said it, I think there's probably a good chance that they do. Even if they don't though, like TNA, they'll do fine there, you know? So like, or something like TNA, you know, maybe New Japan. I don't know. I don't know if New Japan would want them, but
maybe I don't know.
Completely package for them, you know?
It'd be awesome. Dude, the fucking, the snapping. With the Japanese crowd? I mean...
I could see the crowd getting into that, yeah.
And you could totally see WWE crowds getting into that. They love that shit. Oh, yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But that... Okay. The majority of the releases came from NXT and WWE this week.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just start from... I kind of got a list here. I don't know if it's in any specific order, but... The big one at the top here, Braun Strowman, released again.
Isn't that like the third time for him?
Yeah, and just recently was kind of like, you know, we're not a WWE show, so we didn't cover that whole WrestleMania week, but was publicly fucking buried by Paul Heyman for what appeared like no fucking reason on the Pat McAfee show.
What did he
really
say?
Really bad week of PR all around for WWE.
What did Paul Heyman say?
I don't have the quote here, but It was fucking ugly. If you got, yeah, go ahead and look that up if you want. But he pretty much buried Braun Strowman for no reason. And everyone always liked Braun Strowman. He was really one of the big guys that started a trend of these really good big guy wrestlers that continued on even to now with, you know, you have Omos, who just had his best run of his career in Noah. And, you know, Big Bill, a lot of these other big guys that are benefiting elsewhere. So, yeah, he returned in December, feuded with Jacob Fatu, and now he's gone. I don't know what Braun Strowman's future looks like. I have no idea. But, yeah, that's a big one. Okay.
I mean, if you look at his previous trajectory, it was like Control Your Narrative, which then died and back to WWE, and then released again, and then probably wrestled on the indies for a while, back to WWE, and it'll probably be a similar trajectory again, because they'll need a big guy at some point. So, like, you know, not that they don't have him now, but like they have big guys, but they don't have that big guy. And once they've gone through all their current ones and they still need another one for someone to fight, it'll be Braun again. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. I want to feel bad, but like when you're in your second or third release, I started to question, is it the company that's the problem or is it the wrestler? And I don't know.
It also just happens to big men in wrestling. I mean, once you're kind of once you're done, I mean, you're not really mentioned. I mean, it's just kind of the way it goes, dude. You're just kind of put to the side.
And I think one of the things to held Braun back a long time, I don't think he's a bad promo, but they just never really let him establish a character beyond I'm a big meat man, you know? So if he were allowed to, he probably would have more staying power, but they obviously just don't have that for him in their mind, so.
Yeah. The most shocking release to me, Dakota Kai.
Originally released right before Triple H took over, right? And then
and she was the first person he brought back.
And like within like weeks, because WrestleMania was coming up and he had to suddenly book WrestleMania himself and had all the power to change everything and form Damage Control, which ended up obviously being a great business decision, you know?
She gets super over with the crowd.
Yep.
People really root for her.
Uh-huh. 100%.
You see it all the time on Blue Sky as well, on just all social media sites. Dakota Kai has a really deep, deep fan base. And she never really gets that shot at singles glory. And she can back it up in the ring. That's proven time and time again. And yeah, this is a shock. I honestly thought, based on stuff I'd kind of been reading, that Dakota Kai was probably going to get a shot at a title relatively soon. That was not the case. So, I guess we'll kind of go through some of these names at the end here and say if we would like AEW, you know, since this is an AEW show, if we'd like AEW to target them. But yeah, that's a big one, Dakota Kai for sure. Duke, what do you think of this one? Shayna Baszler getting released. She's had a really long run in WWE. Yeah, yeah. Very successful.
Obviously not as winning in championships as Ronda, but I'd say as good as Ronda was, she's way more successful in the transition from MMA to wrestling from Ronda.
Two-time NXT Women's Champion, but never won the Women's World Championship on the main roster.
Somehow never won it on the main roster. I don't know how they never got there. She was over enough at points.
Yeah.
Just never got there. Maybe that's a mistake that they'll rectify later in her career when she's, you know, about to retire or something, but yeah, I know you said save till the end. Honestly, the both of the last two. Send them both to AEW if you can get them, because both would benefit, both would be able to, you'd find time for them. The women's division is stacked, but I think it's probably like eight women right now that are super hot enough to be on TV, you know? Like, so you mix them in with those eight, or maybe if you have to bump a few of them, you know, maybe like Penelope gets a little bit less TV time or something. I don't know, but like, not that I'm going to single people out, but I'm just saying because she's not really wrestling a lot right now, you know? And I think they'd fit right in. So it's shocking, both of these being released. I honestly
Shayna's
can't
shocking.
It.
And she has been in Ring of Honor before, so keep an eye out for that. Could, you know, she just recently made an appearance in Bloodsport. So yeah.
Maybe her and Ronda tag team up and become like, you know, like the most dominant women in Ring of Honor and then become like the ones to try and take on Athena or something. I don't know.
The women's tag team of Katana Chance and Kaden Carter. Katana Chance was Casey Catanzaro. They've been released. It felt like they were always a team that you could rely on in the tag team division.
you know, I fully expect them, if they are going to continue as a team, to go to TNA. And they will probably win the tag titles pretty early on, because I think people still like them. But yeah, that was a pretty big one with their tag team. Okay, NXT, Cora Jade. So Cora Jade has wrestled before on AEW Dark as Elena Black. She is seeking booking, pretty much, is what she's gone out to say. And a lot of people have already been tagging her with some of these young girls in AEW, like Julia. Obviously, they always tag her with Sky Blue because, well, they kind of had a similar gimmick for a little bit there. But, you know, this feels like someone that it would make a lot of sense for her to pop up. She is 24 years old.
Wait, and that their gimmick was Purdy.
So it's pretty insane to me that Cora Jade got released, because I can't. Maybe they just think she wasn't ready for the main roster and she's already been there for 4 years, so fuck it, she's out. But everything I've seen, I thought people were into it. And, you know, hey, I guess
it's definitely one of those names that social media was always pushing on their main social media, not just like NXT stuff. Like, it was all over WWE social media. So I'm surprised to see this one let go.
Yeah. A lot of women's talent released. And you know what? Yeah. I don't see why AEW shouldn't take advantage of that. Jakara Jackson and Oro Mensah, they were a part of Meta 4, Noam Dar's group with Lash Legend. So it sounds like Lash and Noam are still there. Noam has been in development for 9 years. I don't know how the fuck Noam Dar is still getting. I like the guy, but whatever. But yeah, Jakara and Oro, I wonder what they're going to continue to do. So we'll keep an eye out for that. Some of the other guys, Javier Barnell and Riley Osborne, they'd been working some NXT and Main Event and Level Up. And I had saw the name Riley Osborne a lot on social media.
Get new fucking names, for sure. But like,
yes, good God. Riley Osborne's a brutal name. But again, these are really young wrestlers, you know? So he's a UK guy. He's married to Bea Priestley, who was released. You know, she was part of the last big releases. So maybe they'll go to the UK.
Bring him in, so Will can be like, you got my sloppy seconds, bruv.
Bruv. So we can get some bruv offs. Gigi Dolin and Shotzi release. Gigi Dolin was on Raw, I believe, like a week or two before.
Okay, not gone. Coming to AEW. We might want it, not happening. Darby Allin history, it's not happening.
Probably not happening, yeah. but, you know, again, the Gigi is very young.
Wait, hold on. If Darby dies on the mountain, it might happen, actually.
There is a possibility, but Shotzi as well. Shotzi has an awesome YouTube, by the way. I followed her on YouTube a couple years ago. She's like just super Disney, and she has videos like she's riding every fucking track. I don't know. She's awesome. I like Shotzi. I've always liked Shotzi, and her name Shotzi Blackheart was a great name, so...
Yeah, one of the worst droppings of a names that they did to somebody. It still managed to make it work, but like it's just like the most absurd gimmicks, like going into the ring in a little tank and shit, you know, like just fucking fun shit, you know, like.
Yeah, made it work. Gallus. Whole team gone. The Coffee Brothers and the third, what's his name? Wolfgang? Gone. Felt like they were doing really good. These guys are NXT UK.
The British wrestling
scene's going
to get better, Charlie.
Yeah, it's going to get pumped a lot of life back. That to me was pretty shocking, because I thought, again, tailor made for the main roster in WWE, especially with all this time that they had. Yeah. So okay, another
Michael
NXT.
Michael Oku just got some opponents, my young buck.
Yes, he did. Unless he's on his way to AEW too.
Oh shit.
Okay, so this is an NXT woman that didn't start wrestling until she got to the Performance Center in 2022. But again, she was like a super fucking athlete, like competing in acrobatics and tumbling at a super, super high level. She went by the ring name of Dani Palmer. And it felt like she was one of those athletes that a lot of people would like start to get behind, but just never really got to the in-ring, like, spot that they wanted. Keep an eye out for her. Again, she could just be one of those Performance Center people that drops wrestling because she didn't start till then, but that doesn't always seem to be the case, but sometimes it is. The biggest one if from the men's side, Duke, Eddie Thorpe. Why is that name sound so familiar? Oh, that's Carl Fredericks, the only guy from Shibata's class that went to WWE. Released. What? Well, this guy's, the future's either AEW or New Japan for him. All day. He tried. And you know what? I applaud him for going to NXT and getting that shot. He was the only one that did. And unfortunately, didn't make it work. It sounds like, and I did watch, he had a really fun match with Bron Baker like 2 years ago. Because I was obviously a little interested. I'm like, okay, one of Shibata's kids is fucking, I say kid, he's like 35 years old. But I said, well, you know, one of Shibata's guys went to NXT. Well, I'm going to keep an eye on it. Match with Bron Breakker, pretty solid. He got world title shots against Trick Williams. Next thing you know, he's gone. So
I will say, this is the first time since the Triple H era started. I know there was a round of them last year that people said felt like this, but they did end up bringing some of those people back. So, you know, but like, this feels like the first round of releases that felt like Vince releases from Triple H, you know, that where it was like some of the people had a lot of potential and they didn't want to pay them right now for whatever reason, you know? So I'm not sure what the reasonings behind a lot of this is, you know, it's weird. It's almost like the NIL thing is like not working out the way they wanted it to or something, you know, like.
But I do think Carl Fredericks will pop up in AEW. Okay. But now that being said, all the names we just went through, we'll go yay or nay. I mean, some of these more recent ones too, the Authors of Pain, I think we went through all these names before and we were like, maybe. But it's always the women. Like, okay, Braun Strowman, would you want him? And so this will be the same for everyone. The first answer is, would you want him? And B, do you think AEW brings them in? And we'll just go back to back with these.
Only would want him if they're going to actually give him something to do as a character. I want him to actually be like a part of the meat division and like be like the king of the meat, if you will, because we got to do something with him. We can't just have him be there just to be meat. We have enough guys like that already that don't do anything. Like we can't have more.
Even just to bring him in to put over guys like Hobbs.
Straight up.
You know, that was originally why we brought Big Bill in, was to put people over. And next thing you know, he sticks.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is an option, but I would say nay for now. I wouldn't want Braun Strowman.
Okay. And do you think they bring him in?
Probably not. They haven't the last couple times he's been out, so.
So, yeah, I kind of tipped off. I don't think AEW brings him in, but I think I would be okay with it. Again, I'm not like a super Braun Strowman fan. I totally respect what he did in that just era of wrestling that we really covered. You know, because he was arguably one of the most entertaining things every week on Raw was his open challenges.
Bro was flipping and Corey ambulances. Graves,
yeah, Corey Graves' commentary of those challenges. Corey Graves. But no, I mean, look, I think AEW has Powerhouse Hobbs, Wardlow, Lance Archer. We got a lot of meat here. Well, Braun Strowman, I mean, it doesn't get much more meaty than this. A short stint. I think I'd be cool with it, but I don't know. He did show up at Ring of Honor Final Battle in 2021, so it different ownership, though. All right, Dakota Kai. I'm going to go, yes, I want her, and yes, I think AEW would bring her in if they had the chance. That's where I'm at.
Hard agree on that. I think 90 days or 120 days or whatever it is, and we'll probably see her. I would be shocked if we didn't, unless they re-sign her or something, because there's interest from WWE or from AEW, you know, which might. That could also happen. AEW could offer her a fuckload of money, and then WWE's like, actually, suddenly we have money for you. It could easily happen like that. So, yeah.
Shayna Baszler, Duke.
Yes, I think they will try and probably get her, not just for to do the Ring of Honor thing, maybe with Ronda potentially, but I just think it makes sense to bring her in. I think she could work both in AEW and in Ring of Honor. So I think yes.
And I think yes and yes as well. And I think I've seen some debate this week on Blue Sky, a little bit of it, of where people have been saying, like, do we really need more depth in the women's division? You know, we already have so many people there, and, you know, yada, 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 yada. Here's what I say. The more talent you bring in, the more time they're going to get. It's that simple. Have we not learned with Mercedes how this works? You bring in these women, and we haven't even mentioned this on our show yet. Surprisingly, it's been like 4 weeks since this big rumor happened. You might be losing Mariah May, which, again, until there's more information out about that, it's just all rumors and speculation. So there's no point in us fucking talking about rumors and speculation. But hypothetically, if this rumor is true and you lose Mariah May, someone you just spent a year pushing to the top of your program, yes, there's more room for other people. Because, yes, Saraya just left. She's gone.
Wait a minute.
Right?
Not to be a conspiracy theorist, but what if the reason why we moved two contracts that, let's face it, were probably pretty decent in Dakota Kai and in Shayna Baszler in the women's division? What if they moved that to drop like 30 mil on fucking Mariah or something like that?
I definitely think there's a possibility Mariah is walking in, winning that NXT Women's Championship and just running that shit for about a year.
30 is ridiculous, but like, you know, maybe like the highest, like, you know, $1 million deal you can get in NXT.
Yeah,
or
if you
want
to point to something, that's worth pointing at right now, for sure.
Not that, and to be clear, I know nothing. I've heard nothing.
Yep.
I have no
it's
insider knowledge.
It's no
just,
one's
it's
even
just
put
a
anything
guess
out official.
Based on what I just thought a second ago, I was like, yeah, maybe that's why. Maybe they're clearing a few contracts to try and bring in some people, you know?
Yeah, because I don't know about you. This doesn't feel like Ricky Starks to me yet. Keyword yet. But yes, I think Shayna, Dakota, ding, 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 ding. Yes, yes, bring him in. Katana Chance and Caden Carter. AEW doesn't have women's tag titles. You know, I don't think they'd bring him in. I think they're incredibly talented. I don't think I'd want him right now. No, talk to me if we, you know, get that new show going and we get some women's tag titles. Or if we get women's tag titles in Ring of Honor, then talk to me, right? Again, probably every single person we mention, I'm cool with them going to Ring of Honor. But yeah, Chance and Carter, I'm gonna say no, and I don't think AEW will either.
Agreed.
Yeah. Cora Jade. Okay. Duke?
Yeah, I'm gonna go again. I think yes and yes. I think there's been a lot of potential there. I think the fact that they were pushing Cora so much tells me that there's something there.
Yep.
If it doesn't work out, it can always be like, you don't have to sign her to like a bajillion dollar deal. You can sign her to essentially a prove it deal, you know, to use like a NFL reference.
You don't want to get caught signing only 1 year deals. It's hard, but I do agree. Almost quote unquote prove it deals would be a good opportunity. However, if they actually do look really good in that year and then they just jump back, you got to be scared of.
Here's the thing, right? You would want to write the contract in a way that you can extend it without having to let the contract. Now, they could just deny that extension, you know, but like,
yeah,
I mean, the problem is I don't want them just throwing around a ton of money to people that are going to just sit for that same amount of time and then just decide not to come back because they weren't getting used, because that is a trend we're slowly getting into in AEW, where we bring in these people where we have people under contract. And because we get so caught up in the day-to-day of AEW, it seems like that people just get lost in the shuffle. And then by the time you get around to them again, they're no longer interested. And you have like maybe a year left on their contract and they're going to do nothing. You're still going to have to pay them, you know? And
yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It is a concern
Cora,
I have.
Cora feels like someone you do to your structured AEW Ring of Honor deal. And I do think they're going to try and bring her in. I would like it. Fuck it. I'm in.
You're all in?
All in. Bring her in. Okay. Some of these other ones. Yeah, we kind of talked about Gigi. I'd like her. I don't think AEW's doing it. Yeah, it's not happening. Shotzi. I'm going to say yes and yes. I don't see why not.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Again, people talk about, like, I think there is a lot of depth in AEW, and I think there's probably even a lot of depth in the women's division, but, like, I don't know. Maybe it's just something about being an AEW fan. You just get used to being able to say, yeah, no, sign everybody because we can. Fuck it. You know, like, so I don't know. But at the same time, I do want the women's division to feel like it constantly.
Yeah, those contracts are moving out. And the only person that, because again, Saraya gone, Mariah mm-hmm. potentially gone. Mm-hmm. What's happening with Britt Baker? Who knows?
Yeah, maybe gone as well. Yeah. So
like Camille potentially gone. Abaddon potentially gone.
Yeah.
So there is room. You know, other people are injured. Kiera Hogan's injured. Ruby Soho, she's out with maternity leave. Riho's injured. Ty Mello was recently out.
Yeah,
Sky Blue, she's still injured.
Yeah, I mean, there's actually room right now. So honestly,
there is. And I think if you can't hurt your depth, like, that's the thing. I don't think you need to go out and sign everyone.
No.
Right? We weren't sitting here saying, oh, yes, go sign Indy Hartwell. We weren't saying that.
Right.
But
even if you sign all three
different.
Of these, I you know, like, I don't think it would kill everything, but I don't think you get all three. I think you probably get one or two if you get any of them. So like,
I mean, Dakota Kai, if you can bring her in and like do a shock debut against Mercedes
for
that TBS title, like she beats her down after a match. Again, she's 90 days, so it's probably after All In, but Cora Jade's only 30. Again, if you want to have her sneak attack Sky Blue or sneak attack, well, oh my God. If you were doing something with those two together to play that gimmick up a little bit, and maybe you have her sneak attack Julia Hart and you want to do something there, I mean, look, there's options. Gallus, I'm going to say I don't think I necessarily want them. On the opposite token, I think AEW is going to bring them in. Just like we've seen them bring in Trent Seven. Just like we've seen them bring in the Grizzled Young Vets. I think AEW is going to bring these guys in, the Coffee Bros especially. What do you think?
I think this is a scenario where I could see them bringing in the Coffees because that's exactly the kind of tag team that they love, you know? But I don't know if the whole team makes it, though. Maybe they are like, no, we're a four, you know what I mean?
But yeah, like, I don't know if Wolfgang makes it.
Right.
So, I don't know. But then again, these guys might have great relationships with the Elite.
Yeah, and it might be a scenario where this is a team that's been on the indies for years, probably, so they probably do know each other.
Maybe they want to do matches together. Maybe they finally have an opportunity to. Because that's always something you got to mention.
And,
so,
and having three or four people in a group, there's no better place to have that than AEW. So, because the match is there, when you have that many people in a match, it's usually fine. So, like, I'll agree with you. I don't think I want them, but I would think that if anybody gets brought in, I could see the Coffees. Just because, the Coffees, I mean, that just feels like an AEW tag team, you know? Like, I don't know what they call them, though. Probably not Gallus.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, and then what about Kyle Fredericks, a.k.a. Eddie Thorpe? Shibata's guy?
I mean,
Shibata trained him?
If I'm Tony Khan, if Shibata comes to me and says, sign this guy, I'm signing him. If he doesn't,
yes,
probably not. That's probably the way I would look at it. So for me, maybe.
I think if you're Kyle, though, you're like, dude, let me get the fuck over to Japan. Let me go live up my Japan dream.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go do this damn thing. But I don't know. I'm not Kyle. So.
Maybe Shibata has got enough, you know, connection between both that he can get him one of those double deals.
Yeah, maybe he'd love to work with Shibata. Maybe he'd love to get in the ops.
Oh, shit.
So I'm sure you can easily just go into bringing in a new shtick for him. So, and let's mention this. So of the AAA guys, so this came from Super Luchas that eight former AAA fighters have already signed a WWE contract, a new contract. Off the top, Alberto Del Rio. What?
Yeah, that one blows my mind. Sure.
What the fuck are we doing? You fire all these people and okay, whatever. Hijo del Dr. Wagner, great signing. Again, he won the world championship in NOAH. Really big deal for Luchadors. Hijo del Vikingo. Again, can't go wrong bringing those two guys in. La Parca, La Hiedra, Lady Flamir, Lady Maravilla, and Nino Hamburguesa. So apologies for my horrible Spanish, but that Lucha Blog's kind of putting that, and he says, to his knowledge, WWE did not, quote, give Alberto a contract. AAA signed Alberto to a contract when they decided to build a promotion around him for the last year, and WWE will assume that contract when they take over the company. So Lucha Blog is kind of fighting back against this. That's why we will mention it. And again, if they did sign a new contract with Alberto, that's fucking insane.
If they just maintained the contract you already have with AAA, that's ridiculous. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, end the contract. Unless there was something in the contract that said that they couldn't just end it when they bought the company or something. Like, but...
Exactly. So this whole scenario is a fucking mess. And I am glad that we don't have to sit here and cover it weekly.
Mr. Del Rio is a litigious man, but I am smart.
Yeah. Fucking A. Good God. And then... I don't know if this was mentioned on Collision, was it? Whatever. Rhino's heading to AEW and Ring of Honor this week. So he's going to be showing up in Detroit on Wednesday and Thursday. So he'll be in AEW and Ring of Honor. So I'm assuming fun little gimmick matches. All we know is he will appear live. Maybe they spoiled the Max Caster thing. Whatever. Tony loves his ECW guy, so it doesn't surprise me to get a little Rhino in. Let's get a little gore action. That being said, Duke...
Bringing in Gore, man, we got to bring him in against the ultimate Gore, which is fucking goddamn Wardlow, and you know it.
Yeah, buddy. Take us into this week's AEW Dynamite, where we covered the opening match already.
All right. And as you said, Charlie, we already talked about the opening match of Dynamite this week because it was a phenomenal 8-man all-star tag team match. but yeah, so we then cut to the backstage area where there's some, I forget, it was just some random people standing around, I think, and then the Hurt Syndicate came up. The Hurt Syndicate arrived, and there was people going, "We hurt people," and they were like, and then they hurt those people. So, you know, that was pretty good. You may be their fans, but that doesn't save you from being annihilated by these men. Then they discuss MJF, and it seems like they come to a bit of an agreement about MJF. We'll get back to that later. The Ops took on Nick Camarado, Rhett Titus. Feeling like a Titus, looking like a Titus, yeah. Anyway, but yeah.
I see Camarado back.
Yeah, and then I forget who the third guy was, so I called him the Jobber of Dynasty. Destiny?
Anyway. Miles Hawkins.
Okay, sure. But yeah. And also, because he's in this match, of course, severe veganitis. Are you like a Rhett Titus? Anyway. But yeah, so... some spine in the pine, then the Death Riders attack. Shibata got murdered on the chair like a hooketh, and, you know, and, like Hook, of course. But, you know, I wrote it as hooketh, so that's what I put, you know. Yeah, so they fended them off, and they called out Mox on the mic. Joe, that was, called Mox a bitch, and once a steel cage match, calls him a coward. Solid stuff there. The Mercedes sat down, to do an interview. I think it was with Renee. Some good content here. Basically wrote in my notes, Mercedes has got eons of charisma. You put her in any segment like this, she's going to make it work. You know what I mean? So, it's amazing to me how it doesn't feel like Mercedes is going to lose the championship she has anytime soon. And apparently, according to a report that came out, no one's even talked to her about it. So, It's kind of an unprecedented place to be at with a wrestler, you know, like.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do with that, but hey, maybe Mercedes will just never lose any championship. Maybe she is the Omni champion. The Patriarchy were backstage, Jay Lethal basically interrupted and said, "I want a match for your Ring of Honor TV child, young child, Nick Wayne." And Christian's like, "Yeah, we'll do that." Nick Wayne's a little upset about that. We had Timeless Tony Storm take on Miyu Yamashita in an AEW Women's World Championship Eliminator. Yeah. And we had like a little like a recap of the TCM event I think it was Rickaboni narrated, maybe, I think was the one. I think it was the good old Rickabone. And something, you know, I didn't write down a ton about this match. I just wish we got more of the Japanese ladies wrestling and popping into AEW a little bit more. It's a really smooth chain wrestling. They sold really well. After Tony picks up the win, I think off of a Storm Zero, I believe. Then we had Mercedes make an appearance. She had the same year on she had in that backstage segment. So they must have filmed it the same day or something is what I guess is. Or they just had her wear the same gear. I guess it's also possible. Hell of a look is what I wrote in my notes. Some good gear there. Then Jamie Hayter also arrived and knocked her on her ass. and then Tony started going fucking absolutely nutty in the ring. I don't even know what the hell she was doing. She was raving out. It was wild. Don Callis and Himmler were backstage. Talked to defeating, and I'm not even kidding, I wrote this in my note, defeating Willard and Brodiferous. And basically, Kyle, when he ultimately wins the tournament, says that he's going to have to, or when he beats him in the tournament, he's going to have to say his full name to, you know, to him, which is the protostar, Kyle Fletcher. The Hurt Syndicate show up in the ring and invited MJF. They say, "It's time to get this over with." Thumbs up from Shelton, thumbs up from MVP, thumbs down once more. From Sorry, I don't know why I fucking my notes for some reason I couldn't read for a second. I actually lost the ability. I can't read anyway. So yeah, but yeah, we got another thumbs down from Big Bobbert. And Max is pissed. He called Bob a big bald son of a bitch.
Bald SOB.
And I love how he immediately just fucking pushed him into the corner, and Max turns into the chicken shit heel that we always know that he is, right? And he says, you know what? I haven't given you the thumbs up because you haven't impressed me. We hurt people. Well, if you want to impress me, hurt someone. He didn't phrase it exactly like that. You know, he's like, basically show me something, you know? Which I love that it has nothing to do with Max being the person that he is, right? At the end of the day, Bobby doesn't believe he has the balls to do things the way they do. And that is, again, when did Bobby ever get this kind of good storylines? Anytime. He was always great. He made shit, yeah, you know, good shit out of nothing in the WWE all the time. You give him some good content, look what he could fucking do with it. I'm sure this is what he was doing in TNA when he was there. You know what I mean? Like, this is great stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I have to believe that somebody is noticing this in the WWE and being like, damn, we fucked up, you know? Like, yeah, all right. Yeah, so I look forward to seeing who MJF is going to do that to. I don't know who it'll be. FTR had a video package, and Stokes says he's going to get things done. He's going to reverse suspensions. He's going to get, you know, fines. I think there was fines involved. He's going to get the fines revoked or something like that, you know, something like that. So I guess Stokely's getting shit done. Nick Wayne took on Jay Lethal for the Ring of Honor Television Championship. And Charlie, this was probably the biggest pop of the night for me. Because when Jay Lethal came out, they hit the Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Yeah.
It's been fucking like 3 years since we heard that, bro.
Yeah, that was good.
Dude, even Jay Lethal was startled. He was like, fuck, I forgot I used to have that happen. Oh, fucking Justin Roberts was ready, bro. He's like, oh my god, Jay Lethal is not the heel in this match. Holy shit. You know?
He can actually have some fun here.
And then we had Daddy Christian show up, which is what I wrote in my notes. Little Nikki, as I wrote in my notes as well, little Nick Wayne. By the way, I forgot to mention this. There was, throughout this whole episode of Dynamite, they did some, I didn't really notice it until this point, I don't think, but there was like three or four times where they cut to different, like, interesting camera angles that I don't think I'd seen before, or at least not the way that they shot them.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
So I thought I would note that here. They hit a cool one here. You know, it's good to see Jay Lethal back in the ring again, you know, and
yeah.
And Christian takes the title again and it's like anoints him as the champion. So yeah, it's good stuff right now. I don't think the stuff with Nick's really going to kick off until post the Super Juniors, which is unfortunate but he's just going to have to disappear for a bit. So we'll get updates about him. I'm sure Christian maybe will talk to us about him in segments. That'd be good. Like if he like came to us and was like, this is what my prodigy has been doing over in Japan or something like that. That'd be kind of cool. And this is when we officially had the steel cage match between Jon Moxley and Samoa Joe added to Beach Break next week. I believe it's next week, right? Is Beach Break next week? Or is it 2 weeks?
14th.
Okay, so 2 weeks. No. Yeah, 2 weeks. Yeah. Right? Yes.
Yeah, because technically, while Dynamite's tomorrow or
right.
tonight,
people will listen to Dynamite. Yeah. They'll listen to our review of last week tonight, and then Dynamite will be tomorrow. So yep. It will be, okay, so it is for you listening, it's next week. For us talking about the show in the context on the show that I'm reviewing, it would have been 2 weeks out. So they added it for 2 weeks out, which, by the way, just throwing that out there, it's good that they're actually booking matches a couple weeks out. Still wish for non pay per view feuds getting blown off that we actually did get 4 weeks sometimes to build up to a match, because remember the time they did that was who was it with Swerve wrestled? Was it Hangman? It was somebody else. It was Hangman, wasn't it? Their first TV match built up like 8 weeks or something like that, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm just saying, it can work out. It can sell stuff like it's a pay-per-view, you know? So it'll make people want to come to your shows. And speaking of Hangman Page, we had Hangman Adam Page take on Kyle Fletcher in the Owen Hart Cup semifinals in the men's division. The crowd was fucking cooking. Very, very pink gear here for Kyle. That's all I wrote about it. It's very pink, which I'm not saying is a bad thing. It's just very pink, you know? Looked like fucking Ken from goddamn Barbie. But anyway, yeah, I mean, two of the most over superstars in the company duking it out for a chance of glory, Charlie, you know? Yes, Kyle's back was a little scuffed up from his previous matches here. Bro's going through it a little bit.
A little bit.
I said that Kyle hit a spin-a-rooney on the cell that he did the lariat at one point, which he did.
yeah.
Basically, you know. I think this got good time, I'm sure. You know, it was the end of the show, so you'd assume so. I didn't actually look.
Yeah, 23-24.
There you go. So it got solid time. Brainbuster, they hit this annihilation brainbuster on the apron. There was a tombstone on the floor. I think it was Hangman hit a pop-up powerbomb at some point that just fucking, the timing of it was just fucking godly, you know? Like, they kicked out of some pretty crazy stuff. We hit the dead eye on the apron. We had a kick out after the rev got shoved and there was a kick in the dick. And then we hit a couple buck shots in a row to seal the deal for Mr. Hangman Adam Page, who will be taking on Willard the Ospreay in a match that literally my two favorite guys in the company right now. How the fuck do I pick to win that? I don't even know. And I'm going to have to pick it for a double or nothing prediction. So fuck me.
They got it right with these championships, man.
Oh, yeah. 100%. So, you know what's crazy? Whoever wins that match, we all win. It doesn't really matter. We either get Hangman getting to, you know, get a chance at the championship in Texas, right? Which he has to be winning, right? You know? And, or Will doing what he said, what was it, 8 months ago? Not 8, but like 4 or 5 months ago, said he was going to go to All In and win the championship, you know? So we either get that payoff or we get Hangman's redemption. Either way, we fucking eat this year, you know? Like, so. I'm pretty sure, now that I think about it, that probably Hangman is winning, right? But who knows, you know? It'll be really interesting to see. And I think, if I remember correctly from my notes, Charlie, I believe that takes us to the end of Dynamite and into the Collision Colliders, bud.
Yeah, and you know, that match, it was hometown boy versus cocky heel, and it was just fucking great. It was a great match. The crowd really rocked with it, and yeah, I think sometimes wrestling can be predictable, but predictable is not a bad thing. I am so glad they didn't try and shock us with these finals. This is what it always should have been. Adam versus Ospreay and Statlander versus Mercedes. Or not Statlander, Hayter versus Money. So I think they really, really knocked us out of the park. And now, Double or Nothing, those are our first two matches announced, and they look absolutely incredible on paper. Okay, yes, let's jump into Collision, where we've covered the main event, but we still got the rest of the show. We open up with a Women's World Championship Eliminator match, where Timeless Toni Storm defeats Lady Frost via submission. This is a pretty solid match they had here. Not a crazy amount of time, but the time that they had, it was a little fun time. So at one point I thought Lady Frost, she caught her with a shoulder charge and then hit a cannonball. You know, little things like that. It was a little simpler, but it was just enjoyable. So after the match, Storm grabbed the mic and said that while everyone's coming for her, she's coming for them instead. She headed out the ring and all around the crowd and outside the arena, and she said that she'd be here, queer, and always timeless. She is timeless, Toni Storm. So, yeah. Solid stuff here out of Toni, of course, our Women's World Champion. And I see a Lady Frost back.
Yeah.
Backstage remarks from Jan McLean. And he sees Joe should be scared. And he should think things through better. So.
Think things through, boy.
Yeah, you should think with your head. Very good. $100,000 high-speed.
Or you'll be dead.
Collision match where Roosh versus Sammy Guevara versus Kevin Knight
versus who?
A.R. Fox. Sammy Guevara.
Who?
Not been on TV in a while. And welcome back, Sammy.
What is it with Sammy Guevara and these unceremonious returns? Why are we not building this guy up at all? What the fuck?
Hasn't wrestled on AEW television since the Okada match, but that's besides the point, apparently. How many people are like, you wrestled Okada? What? Yeah, so. No, but, yeah. Sammy returned, and look, this match was fun. They all got their shit in. I thought Kevin Knight had some really fun stuff. with Roosh, Sammy Guevara, and AR Fox had some good exchanges. And Hologram was keeping an eye on the match. Yeah, I thought this was pretty solid. AR Fox countered Sammy Guevara's GTH.
Me thinks Hologram has some fucking overdue fucking credit card bills or something. Bro was fucking looking at that match with fucking eyes, you know?
he wanted that money. He caught him with a Spanish fly. There was a good splash. Fox left Sammy Guevara in the middle of the ring, looked at a senton, but he was countered into a GTH attempt. And yeah, third time's the charm. Sammy Guevara finished off Fox at the GTH and won the $100,000. So he points towards Adam Cole at the end of the match, making it clear he wants a shot at the TNT Championship. Welcome back, Sammy. Here's a title match. Okay.
You know what's crazy, too? I love Adam Cole. They could hot shot this onto Sammy, and I wouldn't be that surprised. You know, like...
He's already holding two belts, too.
You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those scenarios where Adam Cole might have just accidentally run into a buzzsaw of Sammy coming back, you know? But it could benefit Adam, because maybe he gets back into the world title scene or something because of that, you know?
It could, yeah.
If Swerve, Hangman, or anyone like that Will were to win it anytime soon, I don't think he touches the title. So, you know, it's like... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so
hopefully it's a defense still, for Adam. That's all I'm saying.
They're still holding the titles. Him and Dustin Rhodes as the Sons of Texas, and I believe Dustin was out there, right? So, you know,
Like if they want the Sons of Texas to walk into All In, not just as Ring of Honor champions, but also maybe defending the ticket. If Sammy gets to defend like three different championships on that show, or I guess like two or three championships on that show. You know what I'm saying? But you never know. So
a little bit of a pre-tape promo from Joe about his match with John. Pretty much saying John doesn't have the courage to face him like a man. No. We get Megan Bain taking on Harley Cameron. And Harley Cameron, even in defeat, looks great as always. She's just, every time we see her, she's so good. And what else can be said about Megan? She's dominant. She is elite. She beats the shit out of everyone. And she looks good doing it. So, you know, hey, you have a special talent here who can actually be the big, you know, the big meat, if you will, of the women's division. And I think they're doing a good job with her. So she ended up winning with the Fates Descent after Cameron hit her with a running knee. And then she attempted a dive and caught it. And yeah, that's where she hit it. Following the match, her and Penelope started beating up Harley. And Anna Jay ran in. And hit her with a 2x4. No effect. She goaded Bane to attack her and sent her flying out the ring. So, yeah. Anna Jay versus Megan Bane. It's fun stuff. Very, very fun stuff. So.
Very, very, very good boy.
Another John Moxley promo. He and Marina stormed the ring from the crowd. He's exactly what it was, you know. What's he going to do inside the cage?
Fuck your TV time. I get a backstage promo and an in-the-ring promo.
I know, right? He said he'd face the baddest competitors on planet, and they all ended the same way. Eh. So, I don't know. It was whatever. Recap of Roppongi Vice attacking the Outrunners. Youngest men alive are pretty much issuing a challenge for a match. Okay.
I actually think they're going to give them a different name in AEW because they just keep referring to them as Trent and Rocky. They're not referring to them as Roppongi Vice. So I wonder if that's owned by New Japan or something. And like, so therefore they can't use it. I mean, which sucks because I'd like that team name, you know?
All right. We get a time limit draw here between Brody King and Josh Alexander, a little 15-minute time limit draw. And, pretty really solid match of big meaty meat, you know, big meaty meat men slapping meat. And hard hitting action. Lance Archer guarantees at the end here that we're going to be in for some more action going on. And yeah, I thought this was just a really enjoyable match. Brody King, you know, Alistair's back in NXT and Buddy's injured and Julia's kind of doing her own thing. So he's a singles guy, and he looked good in singles action yet again here. What'd you think of this one?
Yeah, I mean, Brody never really is disappointed in singles that I can ever think of. So, you know, I mean, every tournament they put him in, he's been good. Every, every singles opportunity he gets, he seems to shine in. It's just, you know, obviously he's destined for different things. I do think eventually he will actually straight up properly have a singles run. I do think there is unfinished business for the I almost called them the War Dogs, for the Hellhounds. Is that what they're called? In the tag division, they should have won those titles like forever ago. You know, like not necessarily these two, but I'm saying like two people in the House of Black should have won those titles at some point. You know, so I think that needs to happen before they really can launch that, if I'm being honest. Unless maybe they add somebody else to the group, but I don't know who that would be, you know? Like, could Blake Christian be another member of this group, maybe, you know?
Could be.
Like, I don't know.
Maybe Shotzi.
Like yeah, maybe, potentially. There's options. We already have. I mean, is Sky Blue technically a part of this group?
I think when she comes back, she will fully be in.
Because she wasn't ever really technically part of the House of Black. She was just associated with Julia. But like now that this Correct. Is a different group now, is that... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, but Brody
Let's go, Max. You're the best wrestler alive. Let's go, Max. He has this open challenge. Danny Garcia comes out to, as Roman Reigns would say, no pop. No pop. Whoa. Fuck, man. I fear the crowd's losing interest in Danny. And it sucks. Because I love the guy. Maybe at the end of the night they redeemed it. And that's why I'm not looking too much into this. Because, you know, he got a bigger reaction at the end of the night. But he comes out to this and it's just not a lot of love here, man. And he beats the crap out of him. Shotgun drop kick, pile driver, under a minute, 1, 2, 3, yada, yada, yada. So, yeah, I mean, another Max thing, he's having a blast. He can't help but laugh when the crowd's doing it. So,
in my mind, when Danny lost the TNT Championship, the idea in my head was he's losing this so quickly because we're jumping him up to the main event, right?
But there's just no room. He's not even in the tournament.
Well, I mean, he didn't need to be in the tournament necessarily. He could just be wrestling guys that were on that level. So, like, and he's not, which is unfortunate. So, you know, I mean, I guess FTR are main eventers, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It feels like, while I'm glad he's getting an actual story with somebody, you know what I mean? Because he doesn't always get that. I do feel like the decision, maybe we took the title off of him too soon. That is a possibility.
Sometimes guys just get fucked, and he might be in a scenario where he's going to be fucked for a little bit, and it sucks. But look, again, it might not matter here. They seem to be going after the Paragon, or he seems to be going after FTR, so not ready to give it up yet. But yeah.
Could he join the Paragon? Is that something Danny could do?
And what's a fourth white? You know, what's a fourth little white?
I mean, we had four before. He could be better.
I know, I'm just saying.
He's a better wrestler than Bobby Fish, I'll just say it.
He is. But Danny's been associated with groups every fucking second.
He literally joked about it in his promo. Like, he's literally been led astray. Like, you know, but I mean.
I know. Yeah, I know. I know. I look, could he? Yes. Do I want it? Not a chance in hell. You know? I didn't even want Finn Balor to join him. Yeah. Remember, that was the fucking rumor for the longest time.
See, but that one would have actually worked. You know,
it would have worked. Like, but I was always like, yeah, we don't need it. We don't need it. Let Danny do his own thing. And I worry now he loses this title and we're back to treading water. But, you know, it is what it is. At least he's got on TV. That's the big thing. He got a spot in the main event. He got a match. He got a victory in under a minute. It is a big deal. So, yeah, we'll see where it goes. Not too worried yet, but the seeds have been planted for worry. Lexi and Aaron interviewed Anthony Bowens. Blake Christian interrupted. He claimed that Bowens won when they faced. People were talking about how Christian outshined him. And Bowens like, yeah, you and Lee can step up to him anytime, anywhere. Good shit. Gates of Agony, quick squash against Ray, Jazz, and Goldie. And then we get a little highlight for next week's Dynamite with Swerve, Speedball, and Briscoe versus the Young Bucks and Ricochet and Samoa Joe versus Claudio Castagnoli. So,
all right. The first match sounds awesome. That Samoa Joe versus Claudio match could be the shits. I'll just say now.
And there's a difference between the shit and the shits. and it very well could be the shits. Yeah. It'll be good. It'll be good.
Just their particular styles. I don't remember them ever having any crazy matches in the Fed.
Look, sometimes great wrestlers can clash and it's not beautiful.
Yeah,
so,
it does happen.
And it's happened with Claudio a lot more than it ever should have in this current rendition of the group. But that's okay. Claudio, we all still like him. Big Bill and Brian Keith brawled out with Gates of Agony and it went to. So, okay. I expect more of that on Collision. That's it, guys. That's all we got this week. Pretty enjoyable week of wrestling. Again, the match quality from AEW in 2025 has been just unbelievably spectacular. I look forward to the upcoming shows. I don't think they're, as of right now, I mean, I'd have to go look up Tony Khan's social media to see if they've announced anything else in this past little bit, but I think as of right now, it's pretty all we've talked about. Jamie's got a sit-down interview with Renee. I think that's it, so. Look to Tony Khan's social media for the matches to pop up in the next 24 hours. So, yeah, if it's a Wednesday and you're watching it, I hope you enjoy the show tonight. If you've already watched this week's Dynamite, I don't know when people like watching our shows, to be honest. I don't know when people have it scheduled. I always assume Wednesday morning is usually people's favorite time to tune it in, but you never fucking know. That being said, thank you for checking this out. And, you know, we've been recording a lot of other content elsewhere, and it doesn't hurt to shout it out at the end of the show. So if you're on Spotify or just, I guess, on Blue Sky, if you have anything you want to write us, you can. But we've been talking a lot of television lately on our other show, ESE Fantasy, where we are ongoing covering Andor. We are covering The Last of Us. We just did a Thunderbolts review that went over an hour, and I thought we had some great discussions on there if you guys have been watching that. And yeah, I mean, we did our first review of Brandon Sanderson's books of Mistborn. So a lot of stuff's been going on over there. Expect a lot more. It's a great year of film, television, and all the rest. And it's a great year of AEW. So needless to say, it's a fun time for us to do our shows. So thank you very much for checking any of these out. We really appreciate it. And we appreciate anyone that reaches out to us. So long live the fighters, boy.
Indeed.
That being said, Wardlow, take us home, you son of a bitch! Whoa.